Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day. David Locke's going to join us coming up here in just a moment. That'd be a fun team to play for.
Yeah, so if this is factual, this is going to be really interesting. Now, this is according to sources. Deion Sanders' coaching staff will include Terrell Owens, needs no introduction. No. Warren Sapp needs no introduction. Dennis Thurman probably needs introduction. Mario Edwards and their offensive coordinator is reported as Jason Phillips. Now, there can be multiple Jason Phillips. I understand that.
Yeah, but there is a Jason Phillips who's currently the wide receiver coach at Utah State. And I believe he's got a relationship with Deion Sanders. So,
well, because he played with Deion for a year, didn't he? I thought
Jason Phillips.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Could have.
No, I thought he did in Philly or Atlanta, I mean, for a year. But I could be wrong. I guess Deion Sanders talked about his staff this morning, how they have over 80 years of combined NFL experience with T.O. Warren, Deion himself. But this is just according to sources. That's going to be Deion Sanders' coaching staff. I can't tell you. That would be interesting to see if Terrell Owens could get wide receivers going, if Warren Sapp could really get his defensive line going. Probably very little money involved.
No, yeah. That's something that Deion's going to have to find a way to. I don't know how you pay Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp what they're used to being paid.
Do you think those two need money?
Probably not.
I think Warren Sapp does. Wasn't he?
Yeah,
he
Warren,
broke,
Warren
he?
Got himself in a little bit of issue, into some issues, yeah.
How's that team meeting going to go? Or how's that coaching staff meeting going to go? And be like, hey, T.O., what we need you to try to do is get these guys to break on time, and we can't have four streaks run every play. Like, you can't tell T.O. or Warren how you want something done.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if this is something that I would want if I were Jason Phillips, because I'm like, I don't want to deal with these guys. Because one time you're not throwing the ball enough, Terrell Owens is going to be in your face going, Coach, my guys are open.
Yeah. Would you send your son to play for Deion Sanders? I think I would.
I think I would.
Yeah. I've listened to him multiple times. He's actually a very motivational individual.
Yeah.
And obviously very successful. I think that he'd be extremely hard on your kid, very firm, but probably pretty fair.
Yeah, I'd say so. But here's the thing, and we've seen, and David Locke joins us right now, weekly conversation brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Team. And David can talk about this too, because he's seen a lot of former players come in and try to coach at the NBA level, and some have some degree of success. Others, it doesn't work well for them at all. And I think there's probably an issue where if you're Deion Sanders and you're seeing your corner get killed over and over and over, and you go out there on the field and say, hey, do this and this and this, that's worked for me, I need you to be better. And the kid's like, well, you're Deion Sanders. I'm a guy playing at Jackson State. I'm sorry, I just don't have that same kind of skill set. And Deion's like, well, just do it. It's not that hard. Well, it wasn't hard for you, but it is hard for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's different, and I think a lot of these guys, it depends on the support staff that they, and if they understand how to manage a staff, which is also.
Well, have you heard the coaching staff?
No, I haven't.
Terrell Owens, wide receiver coach, Warren Sapp, defensive line coach.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's a really cool concept here,
yeah.
And I don't know if this is what Deion's doing, but if you have made all this money and you want to go back and coach at these historically black colleges who are underfunded right now and support them and their athletic programs, and that's your mecha. I mean, you know, you can make it cool to go back to has, you know, play at Moorhead and play at Howard and play at Jackson State, and, you know, that conference could suddenly become, you know, something else. And those colleges are really important. And so if this is suddenly a way to revive the historically black college, I know Chris Paul's been working on a great deal, but maybe, you know, maybe Chris Paul's going to come back as a basketball coach here at some point.
Yeah.
But that would be a pretty incredible, you know, commitment. And obviously you've got to be able to do it well. You can't just show up and be there, but certainly, you know, there's now a bunch of kids that are walking around thinking about going to Jackson State that prop might not have been before, or that might have been really interested in going to a historically black college, but because the football program wasn't up to the task of, you know, even a Mississippi State or a Mississippi or something like that, they end up not going there. Well, now all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're like, well, wait a sec. You know, if I was going to go to Mississippi or Mississippi State, maybe I'm going to go to Jackson State instead and have a unique this experience and have the historically black college experience. And that's a better answer.
It's also bringing in Dennis Thurman and Mario Edwards. Each had probably 6 years in the league, both of them league coaching experience. You know, you load it up with some Hall of Famers. You load it up with some former coaches. And by the way, the other one that's rumored right now, David, is Jason Phillips, who's currently the receivers coach at Utah State as their offensive coordinator. This is it kind of an eclectic, unique group of coaches that
I'd get a television crew in on those staff meetings too.
Yeah.
Immediately.
But I try to put it in terms of would I send my son there, and I look at the staff, and Warren Sapp worries me a little bit because, well, he does have a pretty ugly history. But I would send my son to play for Deion Sanders in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, Deion tried to run some athletic programs in Dallas in high school, and they didn't work. They didn't get credentialed and get the accreditation they needed. And so then it turned out the kids like didn't get credit for the school. Emmanuel Mudiay got caught in the middle of that. And so that was problematic. I mean, it all depends on how they approach it. And there's just a bunch of different layers to it, right? So there's just a pure football aspect. Do you want your kid to play for Deion? There's the aspect of reviving the historically black college, which is probably where I thought about it more. And then there's a whole football aspect, Hans, that I just don't know the answer to. You know, if you bring in a really highly traditionally qualified, you know, I don't know that they're always highly qualified. I always think it's interesting what we classify as qualified, and then I watch some of them do it, and they're really bad. So, you know, I always wonder, like, whether or not that really is the right approach. But let's go with traditionally qualified offensive and defensive coordinator, and then you surround them with this kind of incredible group of former players. You know, can the offensive and the defensive coordinator take care of enough of the X's and O's stuff, or is that not sufficient? You know, I don't know football well enough to know and how the staff allotment. Like, it's, you know, I mean, this is probably one of those, like, bull crap, subtly racist comments that we don't ever realize we're making, where, like, I think the easy answer is a bunch of people are going to make the comment that they don't think Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp are going to be diving into film game prep. Well, are we saying the same thing about Julian Edelman and Jared Allen? If they're the coaches, let's be careful on that one. So I don't know what Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp are going to do from a standpoint of grinding out as a coach or not.
Well, David, I know this. I've been around a lot of big egos, a lot of big egos in the world of sports. And it can get really conflicting really fast. If there's a certain step or hand placement, or if one guy wants to get really technical, I mean really technical, and diving deep in way too many different formations and shifts, and then a coach says, no, we got to dumb it down, that's where things get ugly really fast. And if Deion Sanders can come in and establish the hierarchy and say, my voice is number one, my offensive and defensive coordinator's voice are number two, Warren, T.O., all you guys, teach technique, work inside what they ask you to work inside. Then maybe, but you've got to have really good leadership to keep those egos from being overbearing in those meetings and trying to change things, you know, 2 hours before kickoff. Where Warren Sapp's like, we could get pressure if we do these three things. And the D coordinator's looking at him like, Man, I've been doing this for the last 8 years. Why, what are you talking about? Can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a story. I would follow it. How about that?
Yeah.
I certainly would be there to keep an eye on it. On the idea of having a TV crew there, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Scotty. I'm having the TV crew there, and you know, if you're a 17-year-old kid, it'd probably be a heck of an experience.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's talk a little bit about Denver gives up. I mean, Anthony Davis, it's a crazy shot. Incredible. Nuggets are down 0-2. Do we need to wait for them to go down 3-1 before we pay attention, or do you think this is the Lakers series and they're going to be just a little bit different than the Clippers and the Jazz?
I mean, I have a hard time believing that the Lakers are going to lose 4 or 5 games, right?
Yeah.
But that's now where we are. So that seems super unlikely. They're just too good. They've got LeBron. They're too good defensively. Though Denver, you know, to their credit, and we saw it in that game, has continually gotten better in every series, and namely Jokic. Jokic has evolved as every series happens and gotten better at what he was doing. They're going to need, you know, they need a little – what we're seeing that we – you know, we're not seeing a strong performance from their other guys right now. So, you know, Michael Porter Jr. gave them a little bit of a bounce, but Torrey Craig is not suddenly hitting threes, and Monte Morris is suddenly not giving them buckets, and Gary Harris, you know, went to 1 for 6. Like, they're not getting a lot of support from their other guys. And their offensive rating's way down. I think they were at about 104 in that game, which is a pretty big contrast to what we saw. So, you know, the Lakers are an elite defensive team with amazing length, multiple rim defenders. You know, I thought it was a big deal that they got 25 minutes, the Lakers did, of center minutes the other night. So half the game, they were able to play two bigs. They were +8 in those minutes. I thought that was really big. You know, I thought, you know, one of the things I thought could happen in this series is that if McGee and Howard aren't able to play and then Anthony Davis is marked up on Jokic the whole time, he wears down and he's not as effective, and then the Lakers get caught in a half-court game because AD's not running. I mean, the Lakers have to play in transition. That's the essence of what they have to do. And so, and Anthony Davis gets out in transition when he doesn't have to rebound. So maybe, you know, the other aspect of it is that they, you know, that half the game right now for him, he's able to be, you know, free and play out, and then he maybe has enough legs to make that shot late.
I asked Gordy Chiesa yesterday who he would give the current league or bubble MVP to, David, and I thought his answer was interesting. It differed from where I went or what I think. Scotty, I hadn't got yours yet, but David, bubble MVP right now. I want to see if you agree with either Gordy, myself, or with Scotty.
Haven't thought about it for 1 second. So a little bit of a difficult question. I'll take Jokic.
Okay. That's different than Gordy and I. Gordy took Anthony Davis. I continue to think it's Jimmy Butler. I feel like Butler's helped his team overachieve. And I know his numbers aren't as gaudy as Anthony Davis, especially in this current Denver series that they're in, but I feel like Jimmy Butler has been been the leader that you want from an MVP, and he's had the production and he's had the defensive output. I guess you could say the same for Anthony Davis and for Jokic.
I mean, Denver's beat better teams, right? So than either of those two teams is, I think, what my first thought was. I mean, Miami beat an Indiana team that was on last legs and a Milwaukee team that was dealing. I think we're going to hear over time that the dysfunction inside that Milwaukee locker room was significant. I think there were some strong-minded personalities that took over that locker room away from the rest of it, and that team lost its vibe and its interest to be together. You know, that's still been a huge part of this bubble story. We knew it. It's interesting how we know things going in, and then I think we kind of forget what we talked about. But one of the biggest things we talked about coming into the bubble was the fact that you're never going to be able to get away from it, and how do you get away from it? And we've talked about it from a mental health standpoint, but I also think it means that teams that like each other and get along have been able to have a better experience in the bubble than teams that did not. And I'm not convinced that Milwaukee wanted to spend any more time together as a group. I think some of the personalities in that group had won the day. And I'm really certain about that with the Clippers. So I do think that's a big part of the story. But I think I would still go with Jokic. I mean, I think he's won the two best series so far, beating the Jazz and beating the Clippers. And he's what makes them. I mean, Jamal Murray's got to make the shots, but Jamal Murray's not getting those shots without Jokic. He's what makes them unguardable.
Speaking of Jamal Murray, and I know individual, you know, plus minuses can get a little crazy, but he plays 44 minutes against the Lakers in game two, has a plus 16 plus minus. So there's only 4 minutes he's not on the court, and the Nuggets lose by two.
I didn't realize that.
I mean, that's a crazy stat to me.
How's that even possible?
I know, right?
Like, I'm trying to do the math in my head if there's enough possessions in 4 minutes.
Plus 16 in 44 minutes, and the Nuggets lose by two.
All right, so you're playing a 48-minute game, and you have 100 possessions. So there's two possessions a minute on each side, right? Like, just kind of just if we just do... So there should have only been eight possessions on each side. How did it get to be 18-0?
That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, that's like what it had to be. It had to be 18-0.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
What's the plus minus of the of so who would have rotated in for the 4 minutes? What's
well,
the plus
there
minus?
Isn't one.
Of the
I'm looking at it right now. Monty Morris was -7, and Michael Porter Jr. was -6.
I mean, Gary Harris is -14 when he's out there.
I'm gonna have to look at popcorn and see what how that happened. That's crazy.
But I've never seen anything.
Is that a typo?
That's what I thought. I mean, I'm going off ESPN's box score.
All right, so Jamal Murray checks out at the 3:12 mark of the first quarter, and they go -8 before he checks back in 1:43.
Well, there you go.
He's out of the game for a minute and 29 seconds, and they went -8. He then checks out again in the second quarter for a grand total of a minute and 32 seconds, and they're -6. And they try it a third time. He checks out this time for less than a minute, and they're -4.
There you go. There's your number.
Holy cow.
Now,
what's interesting, by the way, in both of these circumstances, is the run had kind of started before he checked out. Like, the Lakers go on a 15-3 run in that first quarter, eight of which is in that span at where he's at, part of which is in the game where he's out of the game. The Lakers went on a 14-1 run, but again, it was over a wider stretch than just the period of time in which he was out. What Mike Malone does with him that's interesting, by the way, is I bet if he wraps his he wraps his out of the game around timeouts, about 30 seconds on each side of timeouts. So that then he ends up with like a 5 minute break for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it. Wow, that's crazy. Nice find there, my friend.
Yeah. Not very often I get a surprise with a stat. In fact, I think that might be the first time.
I might be off my game, but that one's great. That's crazy. But do I get a little credit for the fact that I pulled up the?
Yeah, no, you get all the credit because if you would have, because when you said typo, I'm like, oh crap, I probably found a bad.
No, it's not a typo. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's really. I mean, LeBron was -9, right? That was like the big talked about item. And what it is that LeBron was out of the games when Jamal Murray was out. It's almost as though the minute Jamal Murray went out. That LeBron went out, that Jamal Murray went out.
Yeah. On the east side, I don't read too much into the maybe I don't know maybe I should in the issues in the Boston locker room. They respond after game two when they had their little blow up. They win game three. What's your take on the landscape of that series?
Well, the only reason I would take, like, I think they do have a bunch of really strong personalities, and I do, you know, I have kind of said I think they have too many ball handlers on the long term for that roster. I think they're going to have to make some significant adjustments. But I think they're great. Like, I just think that team is so good. I mean, like, and I've heard, like, oh, they don't have depth. Well, okay, I don't care if they don't have depth. They played Ennis Kanter 6 minutes, Wanamaker 9 minutes, and Grant Williams 9 minutes. Like, who cares? The other six guys they're playing are great, and five of them are borderline all-stars. Like, I just think Boston's incredible. And if they've really figured out how to move the ball and to share, I think I was on with you guys last time, and I just said I'm not impressed by they just become static too often. And as great as Brad Stevens is, I just see an unusual amount of possessions where I feel like nothing's happening and nothing's going on. But, I mean, Gordon Hayward is their fifth best player, arguably, and he is an all-star. He's great. Like, that team is loaded. I mean, seriously, Jason Tatum or Jimmy Butler, who do you want?
Oh, in the bubble?
Come on. I want Jason Tatum. What's not? I mean, Jimmy Butler's cute and all, but I want Jason Tatum. He can get me a bucket.
All right.
Kemba Walker or Goran Dragic, who do you want?
Kemba.
Okay. Bam Adebayo or Daniel Tice. There's their advantage.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown or Jay Crowder?
Oh, let me think about that for a second, David. Yeah, give me
Gordon Hayward or Tyler Hero?
Hayward.
And Marcus Smart or Duncan Robinson. They're just the inverse of each other. Like, this isn't close.
So they turned that thing around then?
I just think Boston's great. Like, I thought Boston was going to the finals the whole time. You know that. So,
yeah, that's true.
We beat them right before coronavirus hit, and I was stunned. I just think they can score in multiple ways. They're interchangeable defensively. Other than Kemba, they don't have a defensive weakness. They're elite athletically at every position. I mean, most teams have like three elite athletes. They have like seven. Like, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I look at Jimmy Butler's just his ability to carry this team and at least keep them focused and play focused. I know he's not the world that Jason Tatum is offensively, but Jimmy Butler's focus and his ability to rally the troops and get the troops to believe. I know that they're 2-1 and Boston could certainly come back. I just have been fascinated with what he's done to lead that team and focus.
Yeah, I'm not as overwhelmed as you are. I mean, I think he's really good, but I'm not, like...
But even then,
I don't think he's doing any of it except for the fact that Bam Adebayo is great, that Eric Spoelstra is fabulous, and that Indiana and Milwaukee were highly dysfunctional.
And I know you kind of went through what's going on with the Pacers, but they swept them like they should have, and there was some pretty ugly scores that they put on them, and then they should have swept the Bucks. I think in that game four, they had them at overtime. And the Bucks snuck out a win.
To me, that's an indictment on what was going on. I was not there. I don't know. So you're pushing me a little further than I wanted to go. I made a pretty strong statement earlier. I probably should just hold where I was. So Milwaukee was like the equivalent of like 64-win team this year, right?
Yeah.
And they pretty much rolled over and died and got swept in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then something was wrong with Milwaukee. Internally.
Had to have been.
Right? Like, if they lose to Miami in seven, then maybe Miami beats Milwaukee. They lose to Milwaukee in five, and really in three, it's over, right? The fourth game is the gentleman's sweep. And it was cute because Giannis wasn't – like, that team broke at the boycott and was never the same.
Yeah, something happened around that boycott era, didn't it?
David Locke here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. David, always a pleasure, my friend. By the way, Deion Sanders is refuting the coaching staff. Said, tweeted out, this is absolutely wrong. This is how junk gets started. Not a good way to get started with me. So apparently the coaching staff may not be as fun and exciting as we thought it might be.
Interesting.
Yeah. Thanks, David.
All right. See you guys.
David Locke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. That bums me out.
Well, Joe Cook's got to be sweating a little bit. Sports director at 16 WAP. He is, I'm just looking at kind of his background. Wolverines, 49ers. I'm trying to look at where, what his other background is. But he's the one that originally tweeted breaking, according to sources, Deion Sanders coaching staff.
Yeah, he's the he's the sports director of the TV station in Jackson, Mississippi. So, yeah, not a good way to get started with Deion, according to Deion.
He's must be talking directly to Joe, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where Joe would have got this. It's not like he would have just put this out there for no reason.
There's always a little bit of truth. I will say this, though. I mean, Warren and Terrell, I don't know about that. But Jason Phillips is an offensive coordinator and is currently a wide receiver coach and has a chance to go back and be an OC again with Deion Sanders. That's hard to pass up. So I could see that being having some legs to it.
Like, watch one of the very small details of Joe's tweet where he said JSU holdovers T.C. Taylor and Otis Ridley also on staff. Like, watch T.C. Taylor not be a part of it.
Deion brings T.C. in like, hey, I'm sorry, but we're not going to keep you. Why? He goes, well, this guy's a report, and I got to make sure everybody knows he's wrong.
Yeah. Like, if it comes down to something stupid like that, I'm going at Deion.
All right, Ans and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network. Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us once again from Wasatch Medical. No needles, no surgery, no drugs. That's what you want to talk about when you're dealing with issues like that. And, Andrew, you guys provide that.
Yes. Since the early 90s, guys have taken the pill or injections or supplements that don't really work for erectile dysfunction. But Wasatch Medical is doing it differently. And you've heard us talk about this before, the acoustic wave therapy. Clinically shown to open up and regrow blood vessels. Everybody from Cambridge to Urology Times, the American Urological Association, and many, many more have come out and said, this is the future. This is the future of ED therapy. Maybe someday the pill will be gone completely. There'll be enough guys that regrow blood vessels. They increase blood flow. They get the natural function back in the bedroom. We've helped thousands of guys. So if you're out there struggling with erectile dysfunction, this is a great alternative to the pills.
And of course, you get that free assessment, find out what's going on, and check out that procedure all for free and finding out exactly where your blood flow is and how you can improve it.
Yes, call us now. We'll do the initial assessment exam. We'll do the blood flow ultrasound, which is, I think every guy should have his blood flow tested. It's all free, plus a little special gift that has been very popular, produces instant results in the bedroom. And now new patients even get free testosterone. We are very committed to effectively treating every aspect of erectile dysfunction, and we have the full package.
Even throwing in a little testosterone, too.
Yep, that's totally free to new patients. And that'll help, by the way, with drive and energy. So you get kind of the help on the front end. The acoustic wave therapy will fix the erectile dysfunction, so you've got it all covered.
801-901-8000. Time to make that phone call. 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Football Fridays, Coach Mac, Alema Harrington. We're here at the warehouse. Tom Alema said he was a little bit jealous.
Just a little.
Having a Alema deal.
Alema special. Okay. I've got about 10 love seats.
Ha ha! Hey, what do you think, Coach?
That's just what you need is a love seat.
Alema does love need seat. A love seat.
There's nothing wrong with cuddling on a love seat.
Okay, well, I
cuddle with my wife and watch a movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. My wife is practicing social distance.
She's been doing that for 25 years, right?
I was waiting for Gordon to pop in on that one.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. All right, time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to, put on a nice little roulette wheel, spin it, and wherever that little white ball lands is what we end up talking about. All right. Got about, let's see here, 17. And a lot of stories today. A
lot of stories. It's a jam-packed wheel.
Yep, and it's all brought to you by Motorsportsland. They've got motorhomes, trailers, fifth wheels, folding trailers, and toy haulers. Visit them at motorsportsland.com and let them help you get away. Motorsportsland, 4001 South State Street. All right, Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
No way this holds its value.
Scotty, Giannis Antetokounmpo's rookie card just became the most expensive piece of memorabilia or basketball cards in the history of basketball. It just sold for $1.812 million.
For Giannis?
For a Giannis Antetokounmpo rookie card. It was listed by Golden Auctions. It featured a piece of game-worn jersey from his rookie season. It was graded as Mint 9 by Beckett Grading Service. Right before the auction, Golden believed that it could become the most expensive basketball card, but it beat out LeBron James' rookie card that just sold for $1.8 on the head. This went for $1.812 million. A basketball card. A 4x3-inch basketball
card. This makes no sense. This makes no sense to me.
$1.812 million. It's
who's got the money? By the way, Jerry Sloan's house is in Riverton is up for sale at $2.7 million. You're telling me that a baseball card could go for almost as much as that whole house. By the way, beautiful house.
It is.
You see the pictures on that thing?
Yeah.
Yeesh. Yeah. 18-car garage. Now we're talking.
Have you seen it? Have you been there?
No.
What, you have?
Oh, here we go.
No, only golfing.
Oh, okay.
His backyard.
Is it by Riverbend?
I actually, huh?
What's the course?
Is it Riverbend.
Riverbend, okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I don't want to. Well, I guess now it doesn't matter.
You've seen a lot of people's houses from golf courses.
It's off the tee box of the par 3 number, and I don't know how they're running it now, but I think it's number 14.
It said in the news story what hole it was by. Yeah.
Number 14 or number 15. I've seen Tammy out there. I actually waved at Tammy.
Oh, once. Did you?
I'm like, hi. She's like, I think I know you.
Have you ever?
Tammy's the best.
Tammy is the best. Is it a place where it could collect a lot of errant shots?
No, it's behind the tee box.
Oh, behind the okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's right behind the tee box. And there's a beautiful backyard that kind of separates that back porch area. It's gorgeous.
You can sit out there right behind there. It's like a blowhorn.
Wait a second. Think about what you just said.
Yeah.
You could do that, Lloyd. That'd be kind of fun. How much was that thing for sale?
2.7.
Oh, my gosh. And you got a little piece of cardboard. You know what I want to do? I want to grab that thing and just bend it in half.
How much is it worth now?
Bend it in half and step on it. There's your $1.8 million, you idiot.
Putting your finger in somebody's food. Okay, open you go up ahead
that,
and eat that
now. Open up the spot where the game-worn jersey and stick a piece of gum on it. Like, all right.
Now what's it worth?
Now what's it worth?
Idiot. Hey, by the way, you want to know what puts this all in perspective? You remember Mike Trout's card went for $3.93 million.
See, I don't understand what, like, he hasn't done anything. It used to take cards forever to get value.
Yeah. Forever.
Like, Trout, maybe I can see, but Giannis?
I still don't even know for Trout. Like
how old is Honus Wagner?
Well.
Okay. Go ahead, Scotty.
He no longer with us.
Died in 1955.
So how old would that make him now, if he was alive?
That would make him old.
When was he born?
Hey,
1874.
Can you help me with a debate I'm having with my wife on this? And it might be a little in the Mike McCarthy era of awkwardness, but she's like, we were talking about some actor who'd been dead for a long time. Like, hey, guess what? It's their birthday today. I'm like, it's not their birthday. They're like not with us anymore. Like when you die, you give up the right to be having birthdays.
I will.
No.
Like, how can you celebrate?
No.
Like, it's their birthday. I'm like, no, it's really
you
not.
You still recognize their birthday.
I'm going to side with you on this, Scotty. You can't do it.
Thank you.
You can't celebrate
that.
The birthday.
No, not
I'm sorry.
You don't celebrate it, but you just recognize. Today
no, you don't
their
even.
Birthday.
No, not even really recognize. Like, oh, hey, it's Honus Wagner's birthday today. That implies that Honus is out there having a piece of cake.
He would have been 144 today.
No, Honus is dead and has been dead for 60 years. He's like, there's nothing to. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Nothing.
See, his card went for 3.12. Mike Trout sold for 800,000 more than Honus.
Honus should be haunting him.
I don't know, buddy. I still think you need to just commemorate the birthday. You could just say, hey, today would have been Honus Wagner's
okay,
birthday.
Okay, would have been. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's my point. Not it is their
oh,
birthday.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't use it in present tense.
Yeah, see, that's no. All I'm saying. Yeah.
But like, if we're doing the news and we're like, hey, today would have been John Madden's 84th okay. birthday.
Madden's still with us.
He is still with us. Yeah. So don't do that. I still don't even think it's okay to even do this because it's like he would have been 144 years old today. It's like, no, he wouldn't. He wouldn't still be alive. What no, are you talking
I
about?
I think I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. We would have been celebrating his 158th birthday today.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Because if
right.
somebody got there, that'd be pretty incredible.
That would be something. All right. Lloyd, spin it.
Batman would have been ashamed.
Scotty, the NFL is coming down really heavy about the masks.
I know. That's,
really, really heavy.
That's some pretty pricey fines they're throwing out there.
Pete Carroll's getting fined. Kyle Shanahan. Vic Fangio with the Broncos. Who else am I missing?
Those are the three, I believe.
Well, Gruden and Peyton are going to get it, too.
That's the thing. Somebody should have – there needs to be a marketing guy or a sports information guy that needed to be on Twitter in the first or second quarter and then go down and say at halftime, like, John, you got to put the mask on. Did you see the Vic Fangio got fined $100,000? We all know he's going to be out of a job here in a couple of weeks, so you better mask up.
And wait till the boss gets the $250,000 fine.
Exactly. Sean Payton.
Mark Davis is going to be like, I don't have that much money. Dude, John, no.
What this is, Mr. Goodell, is an IOU. That's just as good as money.
That's all he's got.
Hey, first of all, if I'm an owner, I'm going to be saying to my guys, you just got fined $350,000 because I'm not paying this. Put your mask on. And by the way, Gruden, in an effort, I think, to get out of it, was like, hey, man, I already had it. I already had the virus, so, you know, I'm not worried about it. But maybe I guess it's a bad look, but hey,
did
I'm not.
Did Gruden get it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I contracted it.
He broke the news yesterday.
He contracted it at a gambling party.
That's Lloyd.
No, he did not.
Stop it.
He did.
No, he did not.
He's not hanging out with Zach Wilson.
Knock it off.
Playing for Skittles.
No, he did not.
And by the way, all
but he did reveal it after the game.
And by the way, all of you out there that's getting on your soapbox talking about, oh, what's Zach Wilson doing at a gambling party? Because he's a kid.
It just disgusts me.
Would you calm down out there?
Oh, it's so disgusting.
Who didn't play poker in their college years?
Well, if you think Zach Wilson at a poker party while at BYU is a problem, go look at, I was going to say my history, but I was going to figure out something else now. Because I don't want him to look at my history.
Go look at Carlos. Oh, no, don't look at his because I was there too.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right, 12-4.
These guys, come. Just stop it.
Get off your high horse. All right, Hans and Scotty, there you go. Sports Roulette right here on the Zone Sports Network. Take a break, come back. We continue on right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Former Cougar Jordan Pendleton joining us. Your Cougars looked awesome against Navy. How much of that do you think BYU's got a really good offensive line and they are going to roll through Troy and roll through the other teams? And how much of that was Navy hadn't been hitting and it really isn't a fair test?
That's a tough one, man. They did look unbelievable. It was so nice to see an identity on offense. And I'm hoping that's how BYU's going to play the rest of the season. And we'll find out. You would love to see them be able to play with that momentum and carry that momentum on, but having 2 weeks off and then now facing Troy, it'll be interesting to see how BYU comes out and how they've been preparing for the last 2 weeks since the victory over Navy.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, some news on the COVID front here in the state of Utah. And if you got tickets to the BYU game against Troy, well, you're going to be out of luck. Governor Herbert has issued Utah County to go back to orange. This is the first time that they've rolled it back. But he said that this decision is certainly warranted. Now, wait a minute. Maybe it's not the county. Excuse me. I'm just reading some of these tweets coming in. We're not listening to the press conference. Provo and Orem moved from yellow to orange. So maybe not all of Utah County, but Provo and Orem.
Just the cities.
The cities moved back from yellow to orange. That will go into effect at 11:59 p.m. tomorrow. What that also means is that in those cities, they are allowing team sports to continue, but no fans. So now the question, now it looks like BYU will play that game in Troy against, in front of no fans. Governor Herbert says, we understand this is an inconvenience, but we need to get a handle on the situation. He says this is not a shotgun approach, but a scalpel approach. He warns Utah County entirely could move to orange if numbers warrant it. Utah County is getting is driving this latest surge in cases that we've seen. The presidents of both BYU and UVU issued a joint release earlier today as well, telling its students, hey, look, we'll shut this whole thing down if this doesn't get better, and we'll all go back and we'll send you home and go back to distance learning again.
So, as most of you knew, BYU was set to have 6,000 fans at that game. I actually went to kind of an in-depth, in-detail breakdown of the ticketing situation and how there were certain tiers of Cougar Club donators and on down the line just to buying season tickets and having an opportunity to buy upwards of 12 tickets down to just 2 tickets and some of the pricing. My buddy ended up buying 2 tickets, $60 a piece. He's a 20-plus year season ticket holder, and he said that, you know, the process was simple. They kept him kind of up to date on what was going on with the emails, but all 6,000 tickets are sold. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be – it's going to be difficult to refund it, and it's probably going to be a pain in BYU's butt.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't dare do this math any longer on air because it's...
I'm not helping you.
It's gotten really bad. What do you think? Median price of the 6,000, $100?
Yeah.
$200?
Well, I mean, they're all going to be great seats. I mean, you can put everybody really close to the field when you only have 6,000 people there. So I would say, yeah, $100. Let's just keep it an even number.
Okay, let's go 6,000 times 100. That's only $600,000.
Don't do this.
$600,000. We have to reimburse. That's probably on the cheap end. Because my guess is, you know, there's more that goes into that than just the $600,000.
And maybe 100's a little high. I don't know.
No, I don't. I think that's probably low.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, you've got the box seating and my guess is they're probably selling out those suites to families and then keeping it isolated in family settings, and that'd be my guess. I would imagine they're set to lose at least $600,000 in gate because of this. Man, that was enough to drive Deloy Hansen absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Deloy Hansen lost his mind when the players protested and he lost gate and the opportunity for his fans to come in and see a match.
Well, I mean, look, I understand if you're out there and you're like, I don't want to wear a mask. This sucks. I don't like it. Well, guess what? This is what happens when you don't do what you're supposed to do. You know, this, and I'm not talking about anybody individually. I'm just talking about collectively as a group. When you don't wear a mask, you don't socially distance, this thing spreads like wildfire, and then you lose your football games or the chance to go to your football game.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I'm bummed out for BYU fans. I've got a couple that are tweeting at me that are saying that their two daughters had planned on it. This guy said that he'd put his money in. He was ready. So a lot of people are going to be bummed out with this news. The other breaking news on the COVID front, Notre Dame and Wake Forest has been postponed because of COVID issues at Notre Dame. Lloyd, did you say they had four positive cases?
Yeah, it was four.
Four positive cases.
In Notre Dame.
And that was enough to postpone that game.
Well, you know, it goes back to that contact tracing. And this is, look, this is your case for daily testing. This is why you have to have daily tests. Is because, or every other day tests. You just can't be testing 2 to 3 times a week. You've got to be on this and testing these guys as much as possible. Because you can lose four players as long as you know that it didn't wreck the rest of your team, and everybody that's been around him tested, you know, hasn't come back with a positive test. But if you're contact tracing and you're not sure and you're waiting 48 to 72 hours to get tests back on guys that have been around them, then they can't practice, then they can't prepare, and then, you know, you can't play a game if you have had a whole position group that hasn't practiced because they're in quarantine. They could be negative, but it doesn't matter because you've got to keep them away from. You know, let's say they all came back negative on Friday. Well, you haven't practiced all week. You're not ready to go. So you can't play.
So the report here for Provo and Orem is no fans in attendance. So that would probably equate to high school football?
It would. Yeah, it would also.
So in Provo and Orem, if they've got a home game, there's no fans that can come to those. No high school.
That's
no family.
That would be my belief as well.
What about Little League? Must be all around, right?
Same thing, yeah.
If you're going to say no fans at sporting events.
Yeah, team sports.
Well, at least the kids get to continue to play.
Yeah. All right, Anz and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us from Wasatch Medical. And Andrew, a lot of people out there that have had their issues in the bedroom, now's the time to get it taken care of because, you know, a lot of people think, well, okay, well, then I'll just start popping the pill. Well, that's got its own issues, and that's just a Band-Aid. That doesn't help solve the issue.
Absolutely. If you're struggling with erectile dysfunction, the pill can work for some. I would say 80% of the guys that come into our clinic have ended up failing with the pill. So maybe it worked for a little while. They had to take more and more of it. And it stops working, which is kind of inevitable. And almost 100% of guys deal with side effects, the headaches and the blurred vision, not to mention the lack of spontaneity. Now, our treatments, as far as I know, the only thing that eliminates the need for the pill, it's called acoustic wave therapy. It's clinically shown to do something called neovascularization, which is the regrowth of blood vessels. So you think about it, ED is a blood flow issue. Everybody from Cambridge to the American Urological Association has studied this technology, proven that it's safe and effective in eliminating erectile dysfunction and restoring normal function.
The other element, too, is people just want information. I think this is great and that you're offering this for free just so people can see where they're at so they can make an educated decision.
Yes. We try to supply as much value as we can. If you're out there struggling with ED, you're sick of the pills, call us now. The assessment with the doctor will be free. The exam, this is a chance for you to get the information, like you mentioned, get a blood flow ultrasound, test the blood flow. Plus, we'll throw in a little special gift that produces instant results in the bedroom just for making the trip. That's our thank you for coming in. It's all free, and you can gather the information and determine if you're a good candidate.
Real simple phone call to make. Get all the information you need. 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Please make that phone call and get the information you need. Set up that free assessment, and let's get you on the right track. 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.